Hello, and welcome to a very special New Year's Eve edition of the Jim Baker Family Show. Tonight, our special guests are founder of Global Prophetic Alliance, Emma Stark, founder president of Covenant Fellowship of Ministries International, Dr. James Tan, and prophetic watchman, Marianne Peluso-McGahan. Our co-hosts today are Maricela Woodall, Ricky Baker, and I'm Tammy Sue Baker, and now direct from Gray Street at Morningside, USA, here's your hosts, Pastor Jim and Lori Baker.
Thank you, Tammy Sue Baker, and welcome everyone to Year's Eve and the New Year's Week.
That's we're gonna it. Call this. We're into 2022.
I want people to want truth. And the greatest problems we have in the ministry today, Pastor Joe, you're going to have to back me up on this, is people that get their way into the congregation and sow discord.
Yes,
is that right?
That's right.
It's a thing that God hates.
And God says what? Say
he
it.
He hates discord. Sowing discord among the brethren is the number one thing
God hates. That's right, Mary.
Now, you don't know what you said because you said it under the anointing, but I know you don't even know fully what you said.
What did I say?
But the worst thing I ever did is let the wrong person in the circle of God. You don't have to believe me, but you people in the congregation, you people that go to church, wherever you go to church,
that's what that is.
You got to be careful, because they will be sown. I believe what you said, that they're being planted.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you have to deal with things, people.
Yeah.
And in these last days, evil is going to abound.
That's right.
But grace does more abound. But I need you to come and preach a whole month.
You need
on
to just
this.
Come and minister to us personally. I feel like we're getting so ministered to. If you guys don't get in on this, then I don't know what to tell you. You're getting the best of the best from God right now. He wants us.
That's right.
He loves us that much.
Yes.
But
yes.
Go, Emma. Go.
It's the beautiful place of holiness. Worship the Lord. Yeah. What does scripture say? In the beauty of his holiness.
Yes.
It's the beautiful place of his holiness where actually the demons do shriek. Yeah. And we've become a church that pets the demons rather than worshiping the Lord in the beauty of his holiness.
Yeah.
And when we worship in the beauty of his holiness, there is no room for this. And actually people like your friend who became a blessed subtraction, may well, in the beauty of holiness, have got restored. Mm-hmm. And actually, I believe that the harvest is as much for the witches in the church building as it is for outside.
Everybody needs, we need a revival that turns things upside down.
Glory to glory to glory. Our prayers are going to have to be prayers to contend for more glory.
To contend.
God, do what you need to do in my life that I might image you better.
That's it. Yes.
God, do what you need to do with me that I may bear more of who you are.
Yes.
God, I choose martyrdom if it needs because I know that dying and death to self is something you highly prize.
Yes,
oh, that your glory might live and your glory might dwell and your glory might not just be a visitation but might be a habitation in the midst of it. I mean, that's the prayer of this year. God. Oh, God, oh, God, our cry like Moses is that you would show us your glory.
Show us your
glory. That we might be made ready for your glory.
Yes, yes, Lord.
And in it be so transformed. God, would you let us come from glory to glory and not be stuck like we've been for years in the in-between places.
Mm.
God, let us come another level of glory.
Oh,
closer to you, closer to your fire, closer to your throne, closer to its wheels that are on fire, to the righteousness and justice.
Yes, Lord.
Closer to the eyes of fire. May I live before the eyes of fire.
Yes,
where
Lord.
I'm burned to the image of your son. God, that's the cry of our heart.
Yes, Lord.
That we may be an aroma that delights you,
yes,
not
Lord.
By law, not by law, not by a list of do's and don'ts, but by a heart after your heart.
Yes, Lord.
May we be those people. We have seconds to the new year.
Yes, we do.
I notice it's 2359.
It sure is.
But as we cross over, may that be the first prayer in these dying seconds and the beginning seconds of the new year, that we may be fit to hold your glory in you. Oh, God, we cry like blind Bartimaeus. Oh, Son of David, do not pass us by.
Have mercy on us. Have mercy on the church.
And so as we cross over, as we cross over, we shed the grave clothes of a previous season. We shed in this first minute of 2022 the death that had owned us and the compromise that had taken us. And we say, Father God, in this year, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee once again. Oh, we come into a moment of consecration, a moment of set apartness, a year, Father God, of holy burning before you, that we may be the bride that delights you. Oh, that we may be the bride who has made herself ready. And may in this we be able to say to each other, Happy New Year.
Oh, my God.
And right now over the room there is liberation, and even those watching later on, there is an angel coming to your voice, like Hebrews 1 talks about, where angels are ministering spirits, and there is an unlocking of the sound of the remnant right now, and you, the Spirit of the Lord says you're going to be shocked by what comes out of your own mouth. But it's purity, it's purity, it's purity, it's purity, it's purity. It's a purified voice. It's not a contaminated voice that's coming forth.
Whoa.
I believe everyone here is called to be here at this minute. You didn't come by accident. You were brought here by God. And God is showing me he wants to protect his people in the blood of Jesus over you, covering you.
Yes.
But he is going to keep you from deception. Did you hear me?
Yeah.
I want you to pray, God, clear my mind. Don't let me ever be deceived till I come to heaven, Lord. There's deception everywhere. And God's people have got to have the anointing of the Spirit that will give you discernment.
Yes.
You don't want deception. You need discernment.
Yes.
Amen. But you pray for this, pray for this power over deception. God just tell me, you know, I've been fooled a couple times.
See, there's a gift
probably
for that.
A lot more than that.
There's a Holy Ghost gift for that, and it's called the discerning of spirits.
We've got to have
I think that's it. And of course, you know that there are three types of spirits: holy, human, and demonic.
Right.
And so as I release this gift to you, it gives you the ability not just to people read, that's ugly, but the ability to know whether it's holy or profane or just a human emotion, okay? It gives you the ability to weigh prophecy. It gives you the ability to weigh media. It gives you the ability to test even within the house of God.
Yes.
I think it is one of the missing gifts, which is our safeguard gift from deception. So come on, let's just raise your hands where you are, my family. And if you want to stand with me, feel free. In the name of Jesus, we speak a binding of the spirit of deception, and we release to the body of Christ that gift of the discerning of spirits that's written about in Corinthians. And I release it to you now in Jesus' name, that you would know what is holy. Right now, you're going to be magnetized to what is from the Spirit of God. You're going to be magnetized to truth. You're going to know what decisions to take. You're going to know which way to go. You're going to be on time. The Spirit of God says the gift of the discerning of spirit gives you timings because you know what the Spirit is up to. So I release the timings that come with that gift, Lord, to know when to begin and to know when to end. And I release the discerning even of deception and the discerning of lies, that you may shut it down and not accidentally entertain what is not from your King. And I loose that gift to you in Jesus' name.
When Emma was praying about discerning of spirits, I had the Lord put this up on the inside of me. Part of discerning the right is to know the wrong, but the reason for knowing the wrong is to know what the right is. And I declare over you. You see, there's no reason to just see what's wrong. We got to know what's right. And I declare over you that there is coming realignments and adjustments.
Oh, yes.
I speak in the name of Jesus, divine realignments and divine adjustments and the divine moving into places and into levels of offices that you started out here.
Let
the Lord says you're supposed to be up here. And I hear the Spirit of God say, come. There is a shifting and a flowing and a changing and a moving on up into and a moving and a seated at places that you're supposed to be seated in. Because you've been on the outer courts and you've sat on the outside and you said, I wonder if that's for me. I wonder if I could go there. It seems right. It sounds right, but I'm comfortable over here. And I hear the Spirit of God saying, there is a coming into anointing come on you that will realign you and will move you into the places that you're supposed to be, because that is where your light will shine the brightest. I hear the Spirit of God say.
I think in the midst of all of this, it would be remiss if we didn't also say that we are entering and have entered in the last few minutes the era of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Oh, God, let it be.
Oh, man, I love that. And I love Holy Spirit.
We have been Father, Son, and Holy Scriptures for so long.
Wow.
And not Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Whoa.
And I wear a ring with the from Israel, which says the Lord our God is one. You know.
Yes.
And I really feel like the Spirit of God is a massive missing portion of the experience of the church.
Yeah. Yeah.
And not only are we going to see righteousness and holiness, but you are about to see miracles and signs and wonders that you have only dreamed of.
But it's by His Spirit.
By His Spirit. And I actually
not
believe...
Not by might, not by power, but
I
by His Spirit.
I actually believe that some of us, and I would say this because I want you to understand why you felt so frustrated and why some of us have felt so weak. Anybody had moments of real weakness? I know I have. I know I'm 46 and should have a bit more energy, but I've had moments of I've had moments of real weakness.
Yeah.
And I really feel like the Lord is saying, I have had to put you in frustrated, weak places that you might learn what dependency on my Spirit is.
Yes.
So that actually my strength will be seen through you. And that I was actually shaking even your physical frame so that in the era of the Spirit, you would know it was not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit. And actually, God was stripping even our flesh and patterns of how we did things that we might grow dependency and that we might come to a place of such yieldedness that we might have the missing portion of Holy Spirit possession. And I think the Holy Spirit is going to possess
us. That's for me.
The Holy Spirit is going to possess us.
Yes.
And it is in our weakness that He will enable us to be strong.
Take that.
And we are going to become wild.
That's for you.
We are going to become wild like we have longed for. Mm. And most of us only have memories of radicalness.
Yeah.
But I want to say you are about to become wild in a new way.
Yeah.
And you are about to become, you are about to become beautifully intolerant.
Oh.
Beautifully intolerant to the spirit of the age. And you are about to become an offense to the spirit of religion. Oh. And I really believe that many of us have got into bed with the spirit of religion. Mm-hmm. And once we railed against it, but the age of the Holy Spirit is going to make us offensive to religion. Mm-hmm. And in the midst of all of that, can I say with not a lot of joy, we are also in the era, the age and era of the Holy Spirit, but we have also entered the era of the church split.
Wow.
And we are going to see the church split from the nominal to those who pursue holiness. And you got to know what season it is. And sometimes it's a season to embrace. Yeah. Sometimes it's a season to refrain. Okay. And the Lord is going to allow a church split. And we're going to see whole denominations become Ichabod. Whoa. Where his glory will depart from the nominal. And I actually believe that we're going to see churches diminish who are passively independent versus those who steward his presence who are radically humble. And we're going to see that difference. And the Lord has given me a word that we're going to see the end of the successful church, a God of mercy over wanting successful church, and the big birthing of the victorious church.
Mm.
And they measure things very, very, very differently.
Mm-hmm. Can I say,
yes,
there's some pastors who have a humble little church, and they've been seeking God.
Yeah.
And it's going to jam.
That's right. Yes, it will.
The church won't.
It will.
Because
yes.
People are going to come for the holy presence of God.
Absolutely.
And it's going to be amazing.
Yes.
So you better write down what she's saying.
Yeah. Because the successful
because
church.
Because she's right on.
The successful church wants to partner with world power. Mm-hmm. But the victorious church speaks truth to power. And that is a major differentiation that we're about to see come. And so we in the successful church, which is wrong, wanted the church on every corner. But actually, we're going to see in the victorious church a church that thrives in persecution.
Mm.
And I actually believe
help me, God.
That we have forgotten that dying to self is highly prized by Jesus.
Whoa.
And we have forgotten that Revelation speaks of those who love not their own lives. So the successful church, which is wrong, wants to compromise to protect themselves. But the victorious church will see a death to self and even a new era of martyrdom. Mm. And actually, we are going to see the death of structure for the rise of transformation. We're going to see the death of institutions for the rise of belonging to a God-orientated family. Where we wanted the world to see our church organization, we're now going to be those where individuals see Jesus. So the era of the Holy Spirit and the age of the church split.
Era of the Holy Spirit and age of the church.
Yes. You know, the Lord spoke to me something this week that he said, I said in my Bible, he said that I said, love not the world, nor the things of the world. But we have fallen in love with this world.
Yeah.
Yes, we have.
Hollywood and the I mean, yeah. It's quite an amazing place, this world.
Yeah.
But I don't love this world anymore.
No.
And I what I've gone through this year, I said, God, I don't love this world. Mm. I don't love it. I don't love anything about it. Mm. Yeah. I don't even want to stay here very much longer. Because it's not, if you knew where it's going, where the world's headed right now, I don't think you want to be there.
And can I say one more controversial thing?
Because yes, might as well.
We're on a controversial
we
road.
We might as well.
I think we're on a controversial roll.
We've ruined our total audience by now, I'm sure. Yeah. Well, I like that, though.
Yeah. Okay. Mm. In the success, and stay with me and give me grace for this, my family.
Yeah.
In the successful church, which is a wrong motive, we are obsessed with law change. We are obsessed with political lobbying and law change. That's what a successful church perceives to be right. Has the law ever saved anyone?
Never.
You see, in a victorious church, you measure heart change, not law change. Can we talk about abortion and let me illustrate this?
Yes, please do, because the Lord's been speaking to me as you've been talking.
My first ever paid job 20 whatever years ago, when I graduated from my first degree, was in a pro-life, anti-abortion role. And I'm anti-abortion with every fiber of my being. Do I want to see abortion banned? I mean, that's an easy yes. But here's the deal. If I campaign for abortion to be illegal, will I change anybody's heart? No. I will only change the law.
It's true. She's right.
Change hearts.
You must change hearts.
You have to.
You have to change hearts, not just change law. Now, stay with me on this. A victorious church changes hearts so much that the law becomes obsolete.
That's right. That's right. That's so good.
If you focus on law, you are Islamic.
She's going
because
deep.
The Antichrist and Islam enforces top-down law control. So if you think that your nation will get righteous by law change, you have partnered with an Islamic spirit.
Which is terrorism.
Let me push this. This really matters.
Push it, Emma, because this is very important.
Saudi Arabia has no abortion. Saudi Arabia has no pornography.
That's
and
right.
Some other sexual issues that we would want to approve of. Is Saudi Arabia righteous? No, because righteousness is not measured in law. It's measured in hearts, in submission to Jesus Christ. And here is the problem. In a successful church, you're so fixated with legal lobbying and who is in power that you prophesy nonsense to back a political position rather than understand that it doesn't actually matter. What matters is heart change. And can I tell you this whilst I'm on a roll? Well, give me grace.
That's real revival when it comes from the heart.
That's revival. It's heart change. And we have forgotten that. We thought that the nation would change through our vote rather than through a transformation of hearts. And while we're on it, can I just say, if you get the leader in a nation you do not want, maybe, and just maybe, you need to thank God. Because maybe a leader that irritates you is the right provocation to raise the church. God will not marry a nation. He will marry a bride. And so sometimes he puts in a nation the very thing you don't want that will raise a bride who has made herself ready. And you have got to change the rhetoric here, because the obsession with law and politics is robbing from the church in America the ability to change hearts, which is how people find Jesus.
That's right.
And you will not have revival unless the church changes hearts.
Yes.
If you keep wanting to change the law and politics, That is not a measurement of righteousness. Righteousness is coming to Jesus in surrender, in your heart. And I think if you can give a European grace, and you can come and speak into Europe because we need our blind spots, that, and I know it's late at night, but I actually believe that God is saying, stop looking for worldly success. Stop looking for measurements that I don't measure. When I look for heart change and I look for you to love my kingdom more than you love your nation.
That's right. So good. So bright.
It's a massive shift, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And give me grace on it. Mm-hmm. Now, do we want good leaders? Of course we want good leaders. Mm-hmm. Do I want righteous laws? Of course I want righteous laws. But the priority of Scripture is that we change hearts to Jesus first. Christianity is not a top-down religion. That's Islam. And we have lost bringing people to Jesus. And we thought if we campaigned for a leader, people would find Jesus. That's not how it happens.
No, it isn't.
And I think perhaps that's the most controversial thing I've ever said in America.
And we need it. We have to have it.
Because yes. I was going to talk about the ministry of the Holy Spirit in this age that we're in. This is really what I was going to talk about. And what Emma was just talking about of how we try and marry religion and politics, really, that's an operation of the Jezebel spirit.
Oh, God.
Because that's what Jezebel does.
Yeah.
She tries to marry the two.
Right. That's
politics
right.
and religion. It's make true. Them the one and the same thing. And you saw how that played out almost perfectly in the crucifixion of Jesus. Because even in the crucifixion of Jesus, you needed the religious leaders to go to the political leaders and say, let's take this guy out.
Yeah.
So the marriage of religion and politics can be used to try and stifle the Christ. In place of the anointing. Let's have a marriage of this too, and let's right. rule from this Jezebel position of religion and politics instead of rule by the anointing. The way we're supposed to rule is by the anointing, which means we take our place and our position as the sons and daughters of the Most High, seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and we declare and we prophesy and we command. But the substitute for that is this other. This Jezebel, and it's gone into so many places where we think, where parts of the church think, if we could just marry this too, here's how we will govern.
Yes.
But that never was the way it was supposed
to
be.
No, and I think for me, it's that sense of the church feeling it needs the state
yes.
to quash heresy.
Yeah.
And actually, right. that's a demonic partnership.
It is. Because and that's exactly how the enemy tried, if you look at Luke 4, and don't look there now because it's late, but if you look at Luke 4, that was exactly the temptation put in front of Jesus.
Yes, it was.
Look, perform some sign and it'll give you status in the eyes of the world. And that's really all you're going to need, Jesus, in your Savior role. Forget the cross.
Yes.
Forget the
yes.
cross. Turn this stone into bread and you'll rule these people from that angle, instead, why bother go through 3.5 years with these people? Go through the cross and all that insult and pain. Just turn this bread into stone.
Yeah. And I think a powerless church says, oh, politics, help me out.
Yeah, that's right.
A powerless church leans into a political system yes. because it doesn't have anything else.
Right.
Mm. Oh, and I think the church has lent into to play a political yeah. game because it was powerless.
That's exactly right. Because when you look again, and when you look at Luke 4, by the time Jesus went into the wilderness, the first part of the verse says that Jesus was already filled by the Spirit, and then he went in. In other words, God in his faithfulness, all the mercy of God, he filled him before he went into any challenge. Can I tell you this, that any challenge in front of you, the Lord's actually already filled you to overflowing capacity so that you don't have to go in compromising to try and win. There is already an overflow and a reservoir on the inside of you that by the time you go into the wilderness, you have enough in your tank to get out on the other side. Yeah. But if people don't understand that, then they'll start grabbing for straws.
Yes.
They'll just grab for any one first thing that comes their way and think, well, maybe this will help me, maybe that will help me, maybe here's what I need to do.
Yes, yes. And actually, when you enter the era of the Holy Spirit,
right.
and when the church splits, you get the rise of the church of power yeah. that then doesn't need to say, politics back me. It actually
right.
speaks truth to power
right.
and is a revolutionary counterculture force.
Yeah. And you know what else is a real ugly twin. It's a real ugly twin yeah. with this because the ugly twin for wanting to get politics and use that for power is entertainment in church.
Oh. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Whoa.
Because with entertainment we think we'll keep them. With politics we think we'll get them in and change them.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
And again, I understand that people are visual. I understand that people need community. I get all of that. Mm-hmm. But that isn't primarily what the church is.
This is it.
The church is not primarily a place where people are entertained.
No, yeah. It's not supposed to be.
And again, I understand the need for structure. I understand the need for community. I get all of that. But the church is a place where we come together and allow for the corporate anointing fresh from heaven to mold us, change us, and send us out again.
Yeah. And send us out.
Have you noticed that the direction Jesus gave us is to go into all the world, and most of the time we spend trying to get people to come into us? And say, do you know that going and coming to two very different directions?
Yes.
Very different directions. Yeah.
And I think in all of this, our direction of travel is, well, I've been with Jesus, the one,
yeah.
and then maybe the three, and then maybe the 12, and then the 72, yeah. but actually I really want the crowd.
Right.
And the direction of travel is always a numbers game into larger numbers. Jesus was always going the opposite way.
Yeah.
Jesus was saying, look, I'm with the crowd occasionally and the 72, but I'd rather be with the 12 and I'd rather be with the three and I definitely would rather be with the one.
Woman at the well was a good example.
And
yeah,
the direction
exactly.
of travel is opposite. And I think Jesus is saying this year, in successful church, you must know yeah. that you have an unholy
yes.
partnership with wanting size. You have an unholy yeah. partnership with wanting a high visibility and a parading
yeah.
spectacle. And actually what I do well is my par in small rooms.
Yes.
And actually pay attention to small rooms this year and pay attention to your walk with Jesus Christ, because actually the direction of travel goes from the crowd to the 72 and
right
down to the one. That's a Jesus direction of travel.
That's right.
And that's the difference between successful church that wants scale and victorious church that wants to never lose relationship with Jesus Christ.
John chapter 4 and verse 4 tells us that Jesus needed to go through Samaria. Did you know that actually when you look at the map, he didn't need to do that? Mm-hmm. But the reason why he needed to, he was prompted by the Holy Spirit, was that he needed to meet that one woman at the well.
Yes.
The one.
The one.
The
go
one.
That way.
Oh. Now
yes,
that one, it. That
yes.
one became
yeah.
that village.
Yes.
But
yes.
Jesus' motivation there was just, and it says so clear here, that he needed to go. That you know that there can be promptings to just go to the one. And I'm speaking this over me, and I'm speaking this over us, that there will be promptings
Hallelujah.
To go to just the one.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because
yes.
that's so against culture now. We got to be prompted to go for the crowd. Why the one? Why bother with just the one? And look at the one that he went for. This one was just totally an outcast.
Yes, absolutely. It and actually it's that sense of the priority of my walk with Jesus this year like never before.
Oh, right.
Because I am after the one.
Yes.
And you may get the 72 and you may get the Christ.
Right.
But that is never, ever, ever, ever the focus. And again, it is this divide between successful church
yeah.
and victorious church. And I think that is a conversation piece that we're going to have as the people of God over and over and over. Is this a mindset of success where it's all
yeah.
about the
right.
world standards? Or
right.
is this a measurement of the victorious church of Jesus Christ, which is about serving and liberation and about small rooms
yes.
and about counterculture and about wheat amongst tares
yeah.
and about a lifestyle of continuous
right.
habitation? And I actually think that we
yeah.
believe that Peter and James and John were killed because they worshiped Jesus. That's nonsense. Peter and James and John and the martyrs were martyred because they were revolutionary counterculture.
Right. That's right.
They were an offense to the state.
Right.
When were you last an offense to the state?
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
You see, we are not even worthy of martyrdom yet because we're not offensive to the state. We're trying to get the state to back us.
This is where Jezebel leads people.
Yeah.
Because Jezebel robs you of boldness in obeying the Spirit of God.
Yes. That's right.
Yes.
The remedy to that, the answer to that, is to develop a relationship with the Spirit of God on a daily basis.
Yes.
Because you were talking just now about conferences and revivals and all that. It doesn't come that way because to be a believer, you've got to be a believer every day that you're breathing.
That's right.
Yes, yes.
That's
absolutely.
You don't become a believer at a once and an annual camp meeting.
Yes. No.
That's right.
Yes. It doesn't happen that way. Mm-mm. There is a daily, you know, to be a disciple is two things. One, that means that you are under the discipline of. Mm-hmm. But then to activate that, you've got to be disciplining someone else. In other words, I have to be made a disciple in order to make disciples.
That's it. Mm-hmm. Right on.
And I think we have too many who don't want to be made disciples but want to make disciples.
I think people want to imply that they've been discipled.
Right.
So they look good. Yeah. But actually, very few of us like the rod of correction.
Right.
And not enough of us pray.
That's right.
Not enough of us pray, God discipline me.
Yeah.
And actually when we talk about we quote the scriptures or of iron sharpening iron or faithful are the wounds of a friend, when iron actually hits iron or a friend it brings a faithful wound, we get offended and walk out.
Right.
And so we don't submit to the process of iron or the faithful wounds of friends.
Yeah.
And actually we imply that we've been discipled, but we don't actually live under that. And I know we've probably offended people in this room with some of the comments about politics. You've got to know this. I'm a European, and Asian. Dr. James is Asian, and we come from different continents.
Yeah.
And actually, we need each other's opinions and views, and we need each other's traditions to sharpen where we have blind spots. And I'm going to say this as lovingly and as straight. Do I in Europe have a blind spot?
Sure, I do. We all do.
By nature of it, I will need you to point it out. I will not know it because it's a blind spot.
That's how it
okay,
is.
So I will need your iron to sharpen. I will need your faithful wounds. But don't you ever think that you don't need an Asian or a European wound.
Right.
You will need an Asian and a European wound from time to time that says your obsession with politics has robbed you of an obsession with the kingdom of God.
It has.
And that's where America is right now.
I've seen the American church miss it many a time. They like the shiny and new more than the old. Mm-hmm. Can I tell you this? Part of the discipleship process that Emma was talking about.
Yeah.
Part of the discipleship process is not that you hang around with your peers, but you hang around with your elders.
Mm. Yes. Excellent. Ooh.
Now, you see, when you said just now the things we were saying, if you were a younger man and everything you would have heard, can I tell you this? It's important that when the younger ministers get up to speak, there be an elder at the table.
That is so true.
Yes.
Because I want to hang around people. I want to hang around people who've already made the mistakes they're going to make, so I don't have to go through those potholes and fall in there.
Right.
So, and what am I going to learn from my running around with my peers?
Right.
They're in the same boat I'm in.
They are.
They don't know half what I know.
That's
I don't think half the time.
I think to deal with blind spots, you need a leader you sit at the feet of.
Right.
Two, a peer. And three, somebody you're replicating into.
Right.
You
exactly.
need those three levels.
Exactly.
Because actually, if you're not replicating, you forget what it is like to be raised
That's
up.
Right.
Right.
That's
and,
right.
And so you need That's to true. Sit at somebody's feet, have a peer, and you need to sew into somebody else.
Right. Well, the way I always say it is this. Yeah. Everyone needs to have a Timothy beneath him, a Barnabas beside him, and a Paul above him.
And you
need to be a Timothy, Barnabas, and a Paul. But again, that's why I always say this. Whenever I get around elders like you, I say you are gold to us. And don't leave before your time.
Right.
Because here's why.
Right.
It isn't just for your sake. It's for the next generation of preachers.
Yeah. You guys are amazing. These two, aren't we? I'm learning. I love this.
Let me say this. I think we robbed Jesus when we downplayed what coming to him really meant. oh, Jesus, you know, he'll be your personal wee savior.
Right.
Pat, pat. Mm. Yeah. Oh, Jesus, you know, you can have him locked in your heart there. Mm. Oh, Jesus, you know, he's a bit of a devotional grab bag to make you feel good. Oh, come to Jesus and you'll be blessed. And, you know, just say this wee prayer that's not even, you know, in Scripture and sign a pledge that definitely isn't in Scripture, you know, and actually come to Jesus as just this personal Savior. No. The Bible never talks about Jesus being a personal Savior. Do you know that?
Right.
That's so true.
You come to Jesus as a King and as a Lord. And you bow the knee to enter his kingdom. Amen. You don't pat him patronizingly on the head to live and be your personal savior.
Wow.
And we have messed up the gospel of the kingdom and replaced it with a gospel of salvation.
Yeah.
And actually we have minimized Christ and our initial contact with him as a feel-good moment, rather than that I get the sheer privilege submitting to a king who is already Lord of all. And at the point of my salvation, I am coming to acknowledge his lordship, not just his saving grace. And what do I do to get saved? I repent and I acknowledge what? Jesus Christ is what? Lord, not just Savior. And I stoop to enter a kingdom. And I think years ago, when we ripped up the gospel of the kingdom and created this ugly gospel of salvation, we put people en masse on a trajectory for a soft Jesus. And therefore, we got obsessed with our nation because we had never realized that we had entered a kingdom.
Wow.
And so, am I waiting for Jesus to come back? Are you? I hope the answer is yes. I know it's late, but the answer is yes. But you are not just waiting for Jesus. You are waiting for a descending kingdom. And you are waiting for a descending form of government. You are waiting for a holy city where you hope there's an angel with a map who might be able to show you your way to your room because they're an organized structure of government. And so you didn't just join Jesus who's going to come down and personally take you to be with him. You joined a kingdom where a king comes down with his government and his whole nation. And when we screwed up the gospel of salvation, we went on a mass wrong trajectory where we got obsessed with things that were not the kingdom of God. Now, when I said to you, you're too obsessed with politics, I felt the kickback in the room.
Oh, I know you did. I felt it too.
I moved my chair away from you a little bit just because. I was like, no, let the camera pan in on her.
You are more interested in the well-being of your nation than the well-being of the growing of the kingdom of God.
Wow, that's really powerful. You're speaking to America. Wow.
Oh, come on.
You're speaking to the church.
Can I add to that real
quick? Oh, man.
The Lord told me one time that the rich, and he said it this way to me, and I didn't quite understand it until he spoke to me and said, the rich young rulers have taken over the church.
Hmm.
And I said, now what does that mean? Did you know that it is possible to love God? And here's how you tell if you really love God, is you love the plans of God.
The plans of God.
You see, the rich young ruler had no problem keeping all the rules, and he was proud of it. Mm-hmm. And Jesus himself said, if you've done all that, then you're doing good. Now come on over and follow me. And at that point, when his expression of his love for God demanded a change in his lifestyle,
that's it.
He said, no. Too much for me.
Yeah.
I can keep all those rules, but to change my lifestyle?
Right.
To do something that I don't really want to do anyway?
Yeah.
No.
That's good.
And at that point, his love for God proved itself to be inferior to his love for the plan of God. Yeah. The way we tell as ministers, as believers, our love for God isn't by how often we come to church, nor is it by how much we give. Now, how often we try and prophesy, it's by our love for the plans of God on the earth.
Very good. Very good. And so in essence, everything that can be shaken
will be shaken. Right.
And you will watch it. And nothing will be left apart from the unshakable kingdom. Wow. It will offend you. It will frustrate you, the shaking. It will undo you. Yeah. It will bless you. Mm-hmm. It will make you have moments of, I knew it. I knew that was wrong. Yeah. It will also make That's you true. Have moments of, oh, Jesus, I'm on my face. That was in me.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And you'll do both.
Yes, you will. Mm-hmm.
Shaking is not just COVID, and it's not just pandemics. Mm-hmm. Right. It will come personally.
Yes.
It will come in families.
It will.
Right. It will come corporately. Mm. It will come nationally. Mm. It will be wars.
Yeah.
It will be famines.
Yes.
It will be storms. It will be uprooting of evil. But I want you right now, as we wrap this up, to take hope, because you do find your feet on the unshakable rock. And yes, your mind might have to get shaken. And yes, what your hands touch might need to be shaken. And yes, you may have to realign your thinking. God, start with me. But your feet are on a rock that is immovable. And so I want to bless you with hope in this year of tumultuous shaking of all that is not the kingdom of God. So that the remnant and the kingdom may remain. Are you open to be that challenged?
Yes.
May we never be so defensive that we think that I have arrived. May we never be those people.
Okay. Yeah, I hope everybody understands what's taken place tonight. I mean,
well, I know.
Hope
that's
really
why I want them to get a tape
this.
Of it.
Because it's blowing our mind. I'm going to tell you why. Because these three people didn't know one another.
No.
Yeah. These three people didn't know one another.
Yeah. Amazing.
We said hello in the green room. Emma's been with us. Dr. James Tan's been with us. Mary Ann's been with us. So we all know them. But they didn't know each other.
Yeah.
Did you see how the Holy Spirit just flew?
Wow.
Did you see that? Yeah. So beautifully. A little hard to take some of it. And I'm saying, I'm the first one to say, Lord.
Well, I've got so much, I can't digest it all.
It's hard to digest, but it's amazing.
Because
it takes
time. Powerful.
It's and processing.
And the stuff that you guys said, it's on video.
Yeah.
And so I want you to share it with your friends so they can get one tape for $35. You got any more bigger deals than that? In case you want to share it with somebody?
Yes, three of the DVD sets for $82 donation, and that includes shipping and handling. I'm like, we all need this. Every one of us who are here, I'm like, I couldn't write fast enough of what you guys were prophesying, but you've prophesied truth.
And taught. And taught.
I believe if there's ever been a word, and not what I said, but what you all said, But I believe I said what God wanted me to say. But I believe this night is so powerful because you don't see what's coming next.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And people can't grasp it.
Wow.
But even the secular people are saying, this new year is going to be the worst year we've ever known as a country. But God tells us that the perilous times are here.
That's right.
And, but if you want to have a good time, do it God's way.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
And we're going to see revolution.
Yes.
And I mean, where people really get saved.
Yes.
Then God's going to move.
Yes.
And you're going to be wantful to be on, you want to be on his side. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Mm-hmm. I believe with all my heart that this New Year's Eve, some of this, as this program, parts of it go out, I believe there's going to be thousands of people come to Christ.
Praise
Amen.
God.
Thank
I believe
Lord.
The message has been anointed. It's going to hit home.
Yes.
Yep.
And I believe there's people that have heard this truth and they prayed with us on this program.
Yes.
And I want you to share this with your friend, if you would. Now, This is one of the hottest selling videos we've ever offered.
Yes, it's amazing.
The mega drought.
Yeah. Yes, the annihilation of the human race accelerates.
And this is by Stephen Quayle. This is one of his, this is his last film. He says he doesn't plan to even make anymore.
Yeah. Right. It's
he says it's so late that he's not even going to have time to make another one. That's what he said. That's not what I said. That's what he said. But this tape is shaking people.
Yes.
And it's something that you need to get a couple copies so you can give one to your friend. Are you ordering two, giving two?
Two for $82 donation to the ministry.
Yeah. And so give one to a friend because they're going to know. And Lori and I watched it together. And, you know, because I've never believed in things like chemtrails. You ever hear of chemtrails? I always thought they were just airplane things. And he is studied in science and all sort of, and they're literally using these things to seed to make it rain or do whatever. I don't know what all it is. But he shows about it and talks about it on this. But he says he who controls the weather.
That's what Lyndon Baines Johnson said, who was the president of the United States, said, he who controls the weather.
So you wonder why they're talking about global warming and all that stuff? Mm-mm. They want to control the world.
Right. It's just as well we've got some prophets rising, like Elijah, who knows how to command weather.
Amen.
he does.
Bring it back.
And
also, don't forget, you want the brand
new Bible,
and you know,
the large print.
Yes, and what we did with this Bible for Christmas, we did exactly what we told you we were going to do.
Yes.
Right, guys?
That's
I have the pictures to prove it. Jim and I
sat there. Did you get your Bible,
together.
Ricky?
Yes, Ricky did. Ricky and I and his little baby daughter opened it up together the other day when he arrived.
I hope.
And so what we did is there's a presentation page. We wrote to each one of our children and each one of our grandchildren, even if they're just born.
Yes.
They got this Bible. And we wrote Grandma and Grandpa, love Grandma and Grandpa, on the occasion of Christmas 2021. Wow. They all received it, whether they wanted it or not.
We wanted it.
Well, this is the new Living Translation, and it has an app.
Yes, the free app that you can download with your iPhone, your iPad, Android, and it's absolutely amazing. Each page, literally each page in the Bible, you can scan the icon, and it brings thousands of study notes specifically to the scripture that you are reading, videos, the animation. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely amazing.
So that app is so unique.
Yes,
it is.
And every page has a code up on top.
That's
and then you can do... Any kid can do apps.
Yes.
So Grandma and Grandpa, you can't do it, ask.
So we gave it to our babies even.
We did.
And so we have their name written in it.
Oh, yeah.
And
my Jackson, he's 6 years old. He wants to know about the Battle of Armageddon. And he literally, he opened it to Revelation. I said, you know, you might take after your grandfather. I think I can see it now. But he just opened it up, and it's amazing to see how simple the videos are teaching them the foundation. Mm-hmm. It teaches you about the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
It teaches you, I mean, everything that you want to know as you're reading through the Word of God. It just teaches these young children, and I love that you guys gave this to our children, because this is the greatest gift that we could ever give anyone, especially our young children in the times that they're being raised up in this season, in this world, and so they need this more than ever.
Amen.
You know, I started teaching people about COVID 20 years ago, and what happened in the
pandemic?
The flu.
Yes.
They call it the Spanish flu.
Or the Great Influenza.
And from 1918, I believe it is.
Mm-hmm.
And that, they just didn't believe that could ever happen again. If you ever read that book, it's shocking.
Mm-hmm. And we have them available still.
100 million people died from that. And so I want everyone to understand what we're facing. And that's what I've been trying to teach people. Store some food. Store these water Do you have the waters here today?
Absolutely. They, we have our Seychelles water filtration system.
Lori and I tried storing barrels of water, and I'll tell you what, when you go to move, it's really
impossible. We left them. We just left them at the house.
It don't
we brought the kids with us, though. So we said, come on with us, guys.
So we have the Jim Baker tried and true method.
Yes.
It's three of them.
Yes.
And that's got one of the most amazing filter systems.
Yes.
That purifies mud puddles,
that's
purifies
right.
water out of your water heater, you know, even with all that muck down in the bottom.
That's right. Okay.
And that'll keep you alive.
Yes.
And how much is that?
Yes, three bottles for a donation of $82. That's your birthday special for this month. For $82 love gift to the ministry, you receive three of the 28-ounce Seychelles Extreme Survival Water Bottles.
The bucket of food. We have an order of 2,000 that came in there.
Yep.
We probably have gone by
now. We have a limited supply of the 60-mil bucket. That's our prepared pantry, 60-mil bucket for a $165 donation to the ministry, and that includes shipping and handling as well. Call us at 1-888-988-1588.
We want to thank Emma Stark for being
here.
So God bless you. All the way from Scotland to James Tan.
Yes.
Great you to see you again. Woo. And our dear friend Marianne Peluso McCann. And Tammy Sue Baker has been here with us tonight. And Ricky Baker.
Yay.
Ricky, do you have one word? Do you have a thought?
Honestly, I'm just blown away by everything we've heard so far tonight. And if I had to say anything, I'm just going to revert back to the most important thing. Make sure Jesus is number one. Amen. That's all that matters in this world. That's all that will ever matter for eternity. Jesus is number one. And when you adopt that into your mindset and realize that Jesus is the forefront of absolutely everything, then you understand, you know, everything else is secondary. But life kind of becomes a bit more bright. The things around you can remain dark, but light will provide its, you know, shining light inside
in darkness. Yeah.
Just keep Jesus number one. That's the most important thing you can do.
That's it.
Thanks for coming home for my birthday.
Yes, Ricardo.
He's married to a beautiful girl and a beautiful baby.
And here we're going to a victorious 2022.
Yes, amen.
We're going in strong.
God bless you in this coming new year.
Yes.
We got God on our side.
Amen.
Do not fear, okay?
Yes.
God loves you. He really does. Bye-bye for today.
Bye-bye. We love you.
Thank you for watching today's program. We need your support now more than ever. Call us today, 1-888-988-1588. You can also write to The Jim Baker Show at P.O. Box 7330, Branson, Missouri 65615. Please make all checks payable to Jim Baker Show. Or you can make your donation and order of other products online at our website, jimbakershow.com. Thank you for your continued prayers and financial support. It's because of partners like you that we can continue to broadcast the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world.